Hello and welcome to the Talking Locks with Locksuite podcast. My name is Ade Balogun and today with me I have Cedric.
Hello.
Cedric, who I met through Nia, who was my original customer, and somehow he's found his way to my chair. I think this is your second appointment.
Second appointment, yeah.
And you're already on the podcast. I hope Nia isn't mad that you got here before she did.
Hey, it's okay. I feel honored and she could eat one, I guess. I'm kidding.
Nia, we are kidding. I apologize on his behalf.
I'm kidding.
Okay, cool. But it's been a pleasure to meet you. This is the second time we are meeting, but I think the first time we met, we had great conversations.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you loved your hair enough to be back here.
I do.
So let's start with your hair.
Okay.
I always kind of like to start there.
Yes.
So why do you have locks?
Well, okay, that's an interesting question. Well, I have locks because I've always loved Bob Marley, what he stood for, soccer, and it's... Honestly, I feel like it represents like blackness, right? And I like long hair, and there's nothing better than I think it looks best in locks, right? And also coming from a soccer loving background, and Bob Marley also having love for soccer, I think it all just blended well together for me, and that's why I wanted locks. And I think, if I don't want to go too much into, like, I guess the history of it is, I don't want to say something that I'm going to regret later, but I participate into the Rastafarian activities a little bit, right?
Okay, so, I don't think anybody's getting into trouble for that anymore. If we're on the same page, I believe it's legal in almost all 50 states now.
Yeah.
In the US.
Yeah.
And almost everywhere in the world, I guess.
Yeah.
I think some places in Europe. I think Germany.
Yeah.
It came legal like in the past week.
Yeah,
or so.
Deutschland, I guess.
Yeah.
But so. To say is I don't participate anymore, but I still like the hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's fair enough. Did you see the Bob Marley movie?
Not yet.
Interesting.
Not yet.
Okay. I hope you see it sometime soon. I went to see it sometime after Valentine. I know they tried to push it around the One Love around the Valentine season.
Yeah.
Which was a couple of months back. I don't want to spoil it.
No, it's all good.
I don't want to spoil it, but it felt like a movie had to be done about Bob Marley, so they did one.
Yeah.
It wasn't really like a movie about Bob Marley.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt about it. There was nothing new that wasn't pop culture when it came to Bob Marley, but I was hoping that you could see a little bit more of his life.
Yeah.
And not just the history that we all know from, you know, I don't know.
And that's what I was hoping for, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I was really hoping for. But maybe I'm being too critical, so hopefully you get to see
check
the movie.
Yeah.
And then you'll make up your mind to see how good it was. But
generally,
it was okay.
Let me add one more thing about locks, right? It was actually an interesting thing that when I was going to get my... Because I had locks before and I had them cut because I didn't like the way they look. And one of the suggestions that I had was to have somebody else's lock attached to mine. And I kind of disagreed. And the loctician also agreed with my perspective where locks have energy inside them, right? So I don't want to attach anybody else's locks and energy to mine. So I think sometimes locks captures, you know, the things you've gone through, your energy, and when you maintain in your hair, you could kind of, you know, you see that, right? Like whether it looks neat, it looks rough, however you like it, I think that's also part of it. So that's one thing to try to just keep my energy for me through my hair, right? Kind of like if you're into like anime and things like that, right? Kind of like Goku and things like that. So yeah.
Well, I'm glad you said that and you brought that up because I also agree with your loctician and you. I wouldn't say necessarily believe in energy in the sense of it being a thing by itself, but I feel like I wouldn't even reattach my own locks.
Okay.
So I my hair's it's grown now, funny enough, because I cut it to about half of its current length.
I'm looking at your picture right now.
But that was even from about 3 years before I cut it. So by the time I was cutting it, it was already down to my butt.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, are you going to put it back? And I'm like, no, those years were those years. Mm-hmm. I live those years. Why should I carry the weight of those years again?
Makes
sense. I need
True.
I need the newness.
True.
So yeah. I wouldn't even put my own locks back on. Yeah. Talk more of putting someone else's locks back in my hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel very connected to my hair.
Yeah.
So hair means different things to different people. People have different sort of attachments to their hair. For me, I can't help but be attached because it has also been a means of livelihood for almost 9 years now. 9 years this year.
Yeah.
So that's a long time. I've met tons of people, including yourself.
Right.
So, yes, there is power in hair.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you had your locks now?
Since I just started, coming up to a year. Yeah, just a little under a year.
What did you not like about the set you cut out?
The first set?
Mm-hmm.
So I had it growing, and I had... Interesting, also, Nia introduced me to one of her friends who kind of maintains locks. And when she tried to fix them, she ended up cutting some of them. Yeah, and then tried to reattach them somehow. So it started growing. Some of them started growing real thin. Some of them started breaking off. And I just didn't like that look. It didn't look, what would you say?
Healthy?
Yeah, healthy. And also, like, as one, it looked all over the place. Some were real thin. Some had, like, double strands and things like that. So, yeah, I just didn't like that.
So for the benefit of people who are listening to us, who is Nia? We've mentioned her name a few times on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know that anybody else knows who Nia is.
That's a million-dollar question, right? well, Nia is my partner. She is the mother of our child, my child. So we've been together for, let me see, coming up to 6 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. I
give you credit. That's longer than the longest relationship I've ever had.
Really? Okay. Yes. I mean, it's on and off, but it's been more on than off.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And your daughter, how old is she now?
She actually just turned 10 months this month.
She's a baby.
Yes, baby. Huh? Yeah.
And how are you enjoying being a new daddy?
I actually love it. I've always wanted to be a dad, right? My dream and goal was to actually have a kid by 25, right? And I'm, 29 now? So I had her when I was 28.
3 years late?
Yeah, I mean, it's not...
25 is quite young. It's still a baby at 25.
Right, that's what I realized now. But no, I'm loving it. She reminds me how much, I guess, like, real love is, right? True love is.
You know, parents always say that, and I'm not a parent yet.
Yeah.
They always say, oh, the first time you look into your child's eyes, you're going to know love like you've never known it before. There's always, like...
It's true.
Is it really?
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest and tell you the difficult parts of it later, right? But let's talk about, I guess, the positive first. And the reason why they say that is because, like, sometimes, let's say you are having a bad day, and you wake up and, like, even from, like, when the first born to, like, 10 months when they can actually, like, start expressing emotions and things like that, right? So you wake up, you're in a bad mood or whatever, and when you look at them and they look back at you and they smile, or you are trying to chase them and they're, like, running away from you while giggling, you know, it gives you, like, a sense of innocence, and because they are innocent. It
takes you back to that moment.
Yeah, they're innocent, and everything they're doing is, like, purely out of, like, love and innocence. So you look at them and you're like, wow, like...
How can you not love
that? Yeah, how can you not, right? Because even just today, she was, like, messing with my, like, my paperwork and things. And she's doing it out of pure joy. Like, that's what she knows. And you want to get frustrated, but you can, because that's what she knows. And she's doing it out of love. And she's smiling while she's doing it. She's happy. So why would you want to shut down anybody's happiness? Like, you shouldn't want to do that. So
you can only, like, you know, if you can't beat them, you join them.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah. but and it's, you know, it's a creation of you.
Do you want more kids?
I wanted to, I'll be honest. I've always wanted to. But after having one, I think I'm good with one.
No, you still have time. You're 29, right?
You sound like my parents.
You got 10 years from now, you're going to be like baby wanting.
You sound like my parents. Everybody says you should have them like back to back. So that way you're done. They have somebody to play with.
You're still going
to
have a mistake one later, so... Never always be that one. You know, there's always, you know, there are families where you have all the kids, you have the older siblings.
Yeah.
They were all done. That's me. And then you just have one younger brother or your brothers are in their 30s and you have like a 10-year-old.
Oh, yeah, no. My sister and I are not that bad, but it's like 7 years between us. Yeah.
Yeah, that's significant time.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So how are you finding parenting with your partner? Is it, you know, this is America as well, where the whole society is built for the adults to be working.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cope with combining the bills, the things that you have to do, and the fact that a child is an expense in itself?
Yeah. People tell you kids are expensive. And they're not lying, right? And you prepare yourself somewhat for it, but then when you're not prepared, you truly realize that it does take a toll. But we're lucky enough that we have good jobs, good paying jobs, that it hasn't hurt us that much, right? We're not suffering much. But from the beginning, we've set expectations on how to co-parent. Some of those expectations change, but we also learn how to navigate through those and just, you know, work on ourselves and try to communicate better. It gets better over time, right? Because we're both first-time parents, so we only know what we know. But so far, so good. We definitely are co-parenting pretty well. And I will be honest, mothers do most of the work, right? It's like you try as a guy, but sometimes I think women just do more of the work.
The heavy lifting.
Yeah, the heavy lifting, right? Because, you know, they do the breastfeeding and the kid will be attached to them. And sometimes the mother is also more attached to the kid as well. So, but, you know, we share the responsibilities. I give her a bath. I cook meals. I put her to sleep, all the stuff that she could do besides breastfeeding, I do as well. Yeah. So, and then we got lucky enough where we found a sitter who is actually from Togo as well.
Okay.
And she's helping us with, you know, raising her and watching her while we go to work. And luckily, I work from home.
Okay.
And she worked from home some days as well. So sometimes we don't even have to take her to the daycare. So okay. I guess we're lucky in that aspect.
And when you have the sitter, you're probably in the next room working. And then at least someone is
She's in our neighborhood.
Oh, so you take her there.
Yeah, we just drop her off. And if we need to go get her, we go get her. If we need to drop food off, we drop food off. Yeah, okay. She sends us pictures.
Aww.
And she's also learning my language.
Okay.
Right, so yeah.
So you've hinted already that you are from Togo.
Yes.
All right. Okay, let's have that conversation. I know we were having a bit of that conversation before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
So you are Togolese.
Yes.
I know Togo is like after Benin, so you're kind of like our brothers to the other side.
Uh-huh.
You know, we don't bully you guys as much as we bully the Ghanaians.
We're chill. Yeah, everybody leaves us alone. Yeah.
Yeah, you're also on the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. So similar, at the end of the day, we're all brothers and sisters, or at least distant cousins at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
What languages do you speak? Or what languages? I don't want to ask a dumb question.
No,
because
not dumb
if I
questions.
Ask like what language do you speak in Nigeria, that would be a dumb question because that's 250 different languages.
Yeah.
So what tribe are you from in Togo? I think that would be the right question.
Yeah, I'm Ewe.
Okay.
Born in Lome.
Okay.
Family is from Zola, Adeho.
All right.
Yeah.
I wish I had a map because I know Lome.
Yeah.
I don't think I've pronounced it the same way you did. I think we call it Lome.
Okay.
But you said something else.
Lome.
Lomi.
Yeah.
Lomi.
Yeah. And then I speak Mina Ewe, which is kind of like the same thing. Some of the Ghanaians also speak like a version of it. Yeah. Yeah. And then I speak French, which is, I guess you call it like the
national language.
Yeah, the national language, the educational mm-hmm. language, the economical language. Yeah, exactly. Things like that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And what brought you to America?
Learning Spanish. No, I'm kidding. I just want to throw that also in there. But what brought my parents did. My dad did.
Okay.
He wanted a better life for himself and us. So I guess he thought America will be the land of the dreams, right? Like to say. So
yeah.
He came here, was working hard. I just remember him not being there.
Because of all the working.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, he was here. We were back home. So.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. He was here for like a couple, like, I want to say at least 4 years.
Before you guys had came. Before you came.
Yeah. So I just remember him not being there. And then eventually he brought us over, myself, my mom, and my sister. So, yeah, just, you know, better life, better education, all that type of stuff. Yeah.
Any regrets? Do you wish you grew up in Togo instead?
Not necessarily a regret, but I wish I would have came here maybe when I was like 16.
Okay. How old were you when you came here?
Just like a couple months shy of 11.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you wish you were older?
Because some of my friends that I talked to that like also came from like either Nigeria or Togo or whatever that came later,
mm-hmm.
they have a certain connection back home to like their friends or school friends that I still kind of wish I have like friends, right?
But you're still a child. Yeah, you're all kind of on their parents' wing.
Yeah.
You hadn't stayed roaming the streets yourself.
Uh-huh. I mean, I was roaming the streets. You know, like they say in Africa, you grow up faster. You grow up faster, you know, than a lot of Americans do. They think they grow up fast, but we grow up fast a lot, like faster in Africa. I think so.
In some ways, yes. In some other ways.
Oh, I mean, I guess like staying home, maybe not. But no, I think because I didn't really keep connections, right?
It's hard to keep connections when you're 10. Yeah, 10. Going on 11.
Exactly. So it was hard. The only time really would be if like my mom was calling her friends and I was friend with their kid. And yeah, so yeah, that's the only thing that I not necessarily regret, but wish I would have maybe like came when I was, I guess parents brought us when I was like 16, 17. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but the earlier, the better. And, the American dream.
Yeah, right.
Somebody said it's a bad dream. But I don't think it's a bad dream.
No, not at all.
I just think it's really, what did he call it? The land of the brave?
True.
I don't know about if it's the home of the free, but... Or is it home of the free, land of the brave, land of the brave, home of the free? I don't know.
Hey, I'm not American.
You tell me. I thought you were American.
We'll get to that later.
No, you
got it right. You got it right.
Okay, all right.
You got it right.
Yeah, but honestly, the dream is real, but you got to be brave.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so as a Togolese American is what I referred to you in our earlier conversation.
Uh-huh.
And we had this whole spiel, which we should have captured on the podcast, actually, about what does it actually mean to be African-American, Togolese-American, American, African. There are all these variations of blackness that exists in the context of America. And I am beginning to realize, do you see these factions depending on what side you belong? And let me try and put some context to that. So I am Nigerian and I never refer to myself as an African.
Yeah.
Or I never used to refer to myself as an African until I got to America.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's just easier to have a conversation to say I'm African as opposed to saying I'm Nigerian, because sometimes some people don't know. More people know Nigeria. I think we are famous. The Nigerian prince has made us very famous in this part.
Nollywood made you famous.
Amongst Africans.
True.
Amongst Africans.
True.
But the Nigerian prince has made us famous. You know the Nigerian prince? Okay. All right. Thought you didn't know him. He's my brother. but usually once you are from any of the countries in Africa,
mm-hmm.
you just refer to yourself as an African and have the conversation moving.
Yeah.
And that is a different thing from being African American. So for you, who's been here for...
like 17 years now.
17 years.
Yeah. 19 years, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you have American accents.
I guess, yeah.
You went to some bits of high school.
Elementary, middle, high, college, yeah.
All of that here.
Yeah.
You understand the culture, potentially eat the food.
Yeah.
Are ingrained with the thick football.
Yeah.
American football.
The American football, yeah.
Yep. You know, and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But you are Togolese.
I am.
So... what are you in the context of America?
Well, let me just start by saying, when I first met you, I was guessing you were South African.
What?
Remember we had that conversation because of your accent, right? But we're going to move on past that. But she is Nigerian, right? But to answer your question, I mean, yes, I am Togolese American, but also believe I am African-American, right? Because, well, I guess the way you put it is that Togo is in Africa. And based on that, that makes me African-American. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I am an American citizen.
Okay.
Right? And that's how I see it, that if I have a citizenship to a certain nation, that makes me part of that nation. Nationality, right? That nation, right?
So I feel that...
I mean, culture plays a part, right? But...
so based on that explanation, I think Togolese American is more appropriate than African American.
No, of course.
Because there's nothing that actually, besides being black,
yeah.
there is no piece of paper.
Yeah.
We are all from the same continent, quite all right, yes.
Yeah.
But there's no, you know, there's an African Union actually, you know. But is African, okay. The reason why we're having this conversation is because we're drawing some disparities between how people see blackness in America.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people feel like, you know, if your parents or your ancestry or, ancestors,
yeah.
Yeah, if your ancestors didn't get here on a boat
mm-hmm.
Through the slavery.
They weren't slaves, basically. Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
They're not really African American.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not uncommon for people to feel like African Americans treat Africans different.
Yeah, yeah. Vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's my confusion. If African Americans treat Africans different and Africans treat African Americans different,
mm-hmm.
where does a Togolese American belong in the scope of things? But you're telling me you see yourself as an African American.
Yeah, because I mean, Togo is in Africa. Yeah. So I can't, like, you can't separate the two. Mm-hmm. You can't separate it. As long as I'm Togolese, I'm African. That automatically makes me African, right? If, let's say I'm Brazilian, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could technically say you're American, right? South America, right? Mm-hmm. You can say that because it's America. But there's just more of a separation there, right?
Okay.
But, like... if you want to get, I guess, to the nitty-gritty of it, yeah, I'm Togolese American. But if you're speaking to, I mean, I don't want them to think of Africa as a nation because it's not, right? It's a continent. But, I mean, I am African.
Mm-hmm.
I am African, but I'm also Togolese.
I've told you that you are a Togolese man with an American passport.
that's also true. That's also true. I mean, I'm not trying to, like, I guess me saying that I'm African-American, I'm not trying to say that my ancestors went through slavery, right? They could have in a different different way, right? And there's slavery in Africa. There's slavery in Europe. There's slavery in Asia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I'm not trying to say that. But if you just want to look at it as a whole, I mean... so I feel like it just depends how you look at it. But yeah. I am African American. I am Togolese American.
Okay.
Because if you look, let's say if you want to, when you're filling out a piece of paper,
yeah,
it's
but
either
you see,
black / African American, right? Native American, Hispanic, right?
So that's interesting. Why is there Black / African American?
Because you're Black.
Every African American is Black, right?
Yeah.
So why isn't it just Black? Why is it / African American?
I don't know.
If there's no difference between, because it feels like the Blackness is referring to everything on the African continent. So I'm actually wondering why it's not African / African American. That would actually make a lot of sense.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's a different understanding and comprehension for everybody.
But that's a good point you brought up.
Because when you figure it out, it's Black / African American.
Can you be African American without being Black?
Maybe they're saying you're both.
Because it's slash. But I'm not African American, but I would. That's the same box I'll fall into.
And that's what I was trying to tell you. That's what I was trying to say. That's why I brought it up.
Okay.
That's because usually when you use slash, it means and or.
And or. Yeah, so it's the or. It's usually the or. But let me leave that alone for a second. Let's go back to you coming here at 11 years old,
mm-hmm.
being a Togolese kid from a country that was French-speaking.
Yeah.
Did you speak mostly French before you came here?
French and Mina, Awe.
Okay, so did you have to learn English when you came to America?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, wow. What was that like for you? At 11, was it frustrating? Was it hard?
To be honest, I feel like English is an easy language to learn.
You must be intelligent.
No, but like, well, I also had cousins that were here. So we all just kind of like watched TV together and learn. And then, at school, they had like ESOL program.
Okay.
Which is English as a second language. So, you know, you have your time. I think it was like 2 hours out of the day you'll go to ESOL class. And, you know, they'll teach you English. And not to like toot my own horn, but I was one of like the fastest like learning
mm-hmm.
Students like in ESOL. So I picked it up pretty quickly. Yeah.
I actually didn't even realize that. I completely took that for granted because Nigeria is an English speaking country.
Yeah.
Most of us migrate to places where you speak English.
True.
So it's just easier to communicate.
Yeah.
And I did travel recently to Turkey. It was quite interesting
how
you communicate through gestures and all of that. But thank God for Google Translate.
Right.
Yeah. So,
Turkey's fun.
Yes. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Growing up as a Black person in America, there's always the context of race. It's one of the big conversations that kind of overshadows everything else. Like the color, you are always reminded in America that you are Black.
True.
Do you feel that way, or do you feel like is that Black people just victimize themselves and try to be Black in the context of America? And what was that like for you growing up here?
No, I mean, I think there's a case for both. But I mean, you can never deny that Black people are the minority, like regardless of where you go. But then again, we were victimized. So how could we feel safe wherever we go? And especially when even like till now, you go to certain places and they look at you weird, like you don't belong, right? But again, right, I don't know if that's like the trauma from the past, that when you go to certain places, you think there are eyes on you, they're thinking that you don't belong here. But sometimes you notice this, that if you go to an establishment, some people are not as friendly. Some people look at you differently.
So do you ever feel, I know like you moved when you were so much younger.
Yeah.
But do you feel like that trauma that you're talking about is by association in the sense that, like, I grew up in a country that's predominantly Black.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there till my mid-30s before I relocated. And I have encountered people who will victimize you,
mm-hmm.
who will use your tribe against you sometimes.
Yeah.
Who, to be fair to this conversation, I grew up in the States that I was from.
Yeah.
So I was hardly ever the minority
mm-hmm.
in Nigeria. But so for you, who your roots are Togolese.
Mm-hmm.
How do I put it? I feel like I go to places and sometimes the racism is lost on me.
Okay.
Because when somebody's being stupid, you're being stupid.
Yeah.
Like, period. I, you know, someone might be rude to you,
mm-hmm.
but where I'm coming from, people didn't have to be a certain color to yeah. treat you a certain way or yeah. look down on you. There are yeah. also social nuances. All of those things exist.
Mm-hmm.
So is this assimilated trauma? Because everybody around you has made you know that you are different, so you feel different? Or is it... I don't know if I'm coming through with no, my question.
No, I think I understand what you're saying. But no, I think I feel it.
Okay.
I think I feel it. Like, I went to James Madison my freshman year.
Okay, and that is?
That's the university.
Is it it's predominantly in white or yes, black?
Okay. White.
It's a predominantly white college.
Yes, and you could, like, you feel the difference of being black there. You do. And it's in Harrisonburg. And if anybody's from Virginia, they know what Harrisonburg is.
Okay.
Right?
Is it one of those sundown towns?
It's, yes, kind of southern Virginia.
No, yeah. Not southern, like sundown. I hear like if the sun goes down and you're black, you don't want to be outside.
Oh, not necessarily. Because okay. at least where I was, like, it's more of like a campus kind of like town. But
so safe enough.
Yeah, it's safe enough. But, you know, some of the cops will target you a little bit more than others, right? And you know, you feel it. I don't know. You feel the eyes on you. You feel that you're different. I can say this, right? I was walking the campus, and just because I'm black and I have some muscles on me, everybody assumed I play football. American okay. football.
Okay.
Right? And not necessarily saying that that's like discrimination or anything, but that's like, you know what I mean? Like, is that all I'm good for? Like, yeah. Is that all I'm here for?
But it is some form of discrimination. I think one of the ladies I spoke to, Lauren, on a podcast pointed out to me, she's a professor in, I believe, a black institution, but I can't remember though, but at her level, there aren't that many black people
yeah.
at the level she's in.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes she's given extra work to talk to some black students
yeah.
because she's black.
Exactly.
And nobody really recognizes that that's happening because of her race.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily fair, it's some sort of discrimination in itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can understand that. Okay, all right. I feel like you've been here long enough to be able to...
Oh, wait, let me add to that, right? And not just America, because I've traveled to Italy and I felt, that's all I'll say, we're not, like, we're a minority everywhere we go. Like,
not in Africa?
Well, not in Africa, but outside of Africa, I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Right? Like, I feel like even, well, if you're darker in Egypt, I feel like you feel like a minority.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Or you feel there's a class system. There's also still a class system exactly. in some of those places.
Exactly.
Even in India.
Yeah. Right. But I went to Italy, and long story short, I was riding a bike with my cousin, and an older Italian man yelled something in Italian, right? And I asked my cousin, like, shook his head, and I asked him, what did he say? And I knew it had to be something racist. And he did not want to tell me, and I kept, you know, pushing. And he was like, yeah, he basically said, what are you doing here? Go back where you're from.
Mm.
So, you know, that also puts it into, because I experienced it, you know, firsthand. And it wasn't in the States.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to play ignorant. I've had some experiences in America, to be honest with you, half of it is lost on me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to survive in the land of the brave. but I remember very clearly the first time I realized I was black.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a funny thing to say, because when you grew up in a place that is predominantly black, then you are not black.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, exactly.
You just are.
Yeah.
And I went on a tour. Euro tour, the final year of my master's, which must have been in 2008 2, we toured Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, and France. And I found myself in a city called Bonn, B-O-N-N, in Germany. My friend was still working, so I decided to tour the museums myself that day. And I was at the train station. And Bonn is a city west of Germany that's kind of old and predominantly white. And I was in the train station waiting for a train. And I was the only black thing I could see for miles. Yeah. And I immediately got scared because there was nobody like me around. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I felt different. It was the first time it registered to me that I was different.
Yeah.
And there was nobody like me around me. And it was very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. I know that these things exist.
Yeah.
And I spoke English in a country where German is the national language. It was very difficult trying to communicate when I was lost.
Yeah.
Knowing what side of the train podium I should be on because everything was in German.
Yeah.
So it was very difficult to find someone to speak English with.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, it was something.
Okay, so I guess let me ask you this, right? As someone who came to the States in the later years.
Yes.
Right? What have you recognized is different from, I guess, being black in America? What have you recognized?
It's still a concept I struggle with. I've been here for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and I know I'm different, but I know that so many other people are different as well. I am also Nigerian, which means that we're very hardworking people.
Mm-hmm.
We have grit. We go the extra mile, generally speaking, not all of us, but... Mm-hmm. Generally speaking.
Yeah.
So most of the things I've tried to do in America, I've actually found favor because the system is a little bit more meritocratic, not a little bit, so much more meritocratic than my home country, where you have to know somebody before you can get something done.
Yeah.
So if you ask me, in the short time I've been here, hard work pays off.
Yeah, for sure.
And back home, it doesn't necessarily pay off.
No.
So if you, my blackness has not been a barrier in my life because there's so many more barriers in my home country that I don't feel like I'm not getting something because of my color.
Okay.
The nuances are not lost on me.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that if I continue to rise in my day job, I will get to a level where meritocracy is not going to get me past my blackness.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm aware that that will happen at some point.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. So I'm enjoying the meritocratic system that exists and the levels at which I'm playing now. I don't know if that makes sense or if that answers your question.
No, yeah. No, you're basically saying that, you know, you haven't basically face any obstacle yet to meet your goals, right?
Yes.
And but there, it might happen, right? Because there are certain roles that are meant for certain people.
Yeah, it's kind of bound to happen at some point. So I don't think that black people are exaggerating, even though I did ask a question that kind of leaned towards that.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, I love my country and I don't want this to be, I'm not trying to knock my country down or anything.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. Yeah. I'm Miss Nigeria. I love Nigeria. Yeah. You know, I would always fight for my country.
Yeah.
But in a system where, when you come from a system where, true life example, where a doctor is trying to do a consultation with you as a patient, this was my father, and we are all putting on the touch light on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
For her to be able to carry out that examination because there's no power.
Yeah.
And the room is dark.
Yeah.
And she's trying to examine him.
Yeah.
And everybody's using flashlights or whatever for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come from that system and you come to a medical system here where the doctor is actually going to sit down with you for 1 hour and give you that time.
Yeah.
It feels like a luxury.
No, for sure.
So, but I'm sure people who are complaining on the news that black women, you know, are, I think the... what you call it now, giving birth in America as a black woman, you're at higher risk of having a problem or dying and all of that. Colored women have. So I'm sure they have all of those experiences. I'm sure those experiences are real.
Yeah.
But excuse me, where I'm coming from, it can be so much worse.
Yeah.
Or some of the things that don't exist in the system I'm coming from exist here.
That's, and there's not so even a medical help.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I can't help but recognize those things as like, this is better than where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I got
so
you.
So I'll count it as a plus anytime.
Yeah.
Would I rather have a doctor who, you know, reads my test results mm-hmm. and gives me the right diagnosis?
Yeah.
And one who cannot even see my veins?
Yeah.
What are you going to pick?
I got you.
So, you know.
Yeah, basically better life.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, better life in America is also contestable because... yeah, it's contestable. See, you're the one that's running this podcast at this moment. It's contestable because what is better life? I don't think comparing Nigeria to America... It's not comparing apples for oranges.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you an example. We are at the Lockerty Studio in America.
Yeah.
I have been on my feet since 9 a.m. I walk solely by myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have great conversations. I love what I do. Yeah. Nobody's forcing me to do what I'm doing. I'm doing it because I love it.
Yeah.
My salon in Nigeria has 6 people working in it who can share the work, who can get things done faster.
Exactly.
Who can generate more income, quote unquote, but the value of the currency is so much different, so you can't really compare apples for oranges. So if I were to be in the salon in Nigeria, I wouldn't be on my feet having this conversation. I probably would be sitting down, because there will be other people who will be helping to do the work, so I could scale easily in Nigeria. So you can't really compare that, you know. I had a housekeeper that would come and clean my house every week for nothing in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Here, that would be a luxury.
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So what is... There's also the community that exists.
Yeah.
You did say that you wish you left a little bit older because you would have had that sense of community and that bond.
Yeah.
And thank God for technology because... You can quickly make a video call to your friends and all of that, but that makes sense. It helps to kind of close the gap, but the time difference doesn't help. But however, on a Saturday evening like this in Nigeria, there is a man on the side of the street there with his coal roasting some some nice suya for you to eat.
Yeah.
You know, from the salon window, we would have watched somebody fight. You know, see, it's you're more alive.
I agree with
There's more community in Nigeria than there is here. Here, you're just working for this dream.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a terrible episode of Black Mirror. So in some ways, if I can keep my dollar income, I'll be in Nigeria in a bit.
I agree.
Forget it.
That's why we travel back and try to go have fun all the time, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's... I mean, I guess I don't want to go off like too much of this topic, but... I think that's what it is, that here you can make a good living, right? And achieve your dreams. And it's not necessarily who you know, even though sometimes it is. But in Africa, and if you are African or you know the world, you know, and some part of the world, you know that a lot of it is politics, right? Like politicians rule the world in Africa, right? And if you're close to them, you're going to have a better life. And if you cross them, you might have a hard life. But I think I get what you're trying to say, that when you're in Africa, you feel free. It's like a
community is just...
Fresh air, right? Like, yeah. A breath of fresh air. There we go. That's what you say. You know, like you said, you eat suya on the street, you have no worries, but when you are there, living there in poverty, it's tough. It is tough. Yeah.
So I get it. But like for me, it's two different things.
Yeah.
So when I just moved, I found it very difficult to settle here because I was always comparing everything. The food didn't taste right. Nothing tastes right.
Yeah.
The neighbors didn't say hello.
True.
I talk to the dogs more than I talk to people. You know, yeah, yeah, I did have neighbors where I knew their dogs' names. And when I see them in the morning, I'll say, hi, Riley, how you doing? Because I'm just longing to talk to an actual human being.
True.
And I don't even know their owner's names. So it was just crazy. It's like I'm living in this, like I said, a terrible episode of Black Mirror. But it took me some time to accept that, you know, this is what it is. This is how this life is. And you have to just integrate. So when I said to integrate, I said looking for my American dream. You do what you got to do. Okay, let's move on to another topic.
True.
They said you look like a football player, and not like an American football player, but we know that you actually do play the real football.
Yes.
So what got you into football? Were you playing before you came to the States?
Yeah, that's the only sport I remember playing, to be honest. Since I was a kid, kicking sandbags around, kicking rocks around, playing barefooted, you know, acting like I was Ronaldo, Adebayor, if you know,
of course.
Togo football. So
yeah, we claim Adebayor is
Yeah, so, you know, like, that's the only thing I remember playing from since I was a kid. And obviously, growing up in Togo, that's our number one sport. So
I actually think it's Africa's number one sport.
Exactly. So if you don't play that, you know, what is he going to do? So, yeah, that's what I grew up playing until I came here and, you know, continue doing that as well.
Did you ever consider playing professionally here?
Yes, I did. That was my dream all the way through college until...
Did you play college soccer?
Yeah, I played college soccer, yeah.
I can't imagine my calling it soccer. Football.
Yep, I played. That was the reason why I actually left JMU to go to VCU.
Okay.
For college soccer, yeah.
Do they have a better team at VCU?
Did I have what?
Do they have a better team at VCU?
No, I just had the chance to be on the team. To be honest, at one point, because, you know, the years differ, right? So some years VCU could be better, some years JMU is better, and they were also in different conferences. Okay. But as part of, like, a national tournament, there were times where VCU went further than JMU went further, so... but I just didn't have the chance to play at JMU, but I had the chance to play at VCU.
So you switched?
Yeah, so I switched, yeah. So or let's say to be on the team, right, yeah.
Did you graduate from VCU at the end of the day?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I finished my last 3 years there.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, and...
Did you like VCU?
I did. It grew on me. The reason why I went to JMU is because I wanted more of like... an excluded college campus, and VCU's like right in the heart, kind
of
like
of Richmond, right?
Pretty much, that's like built into like the city, right? Sometimes you can't even tell the difference between the
campus,
the campus and the the city, right? Like your school buildings are mixed with the city buildings, so which eventually you kind of like grow to like. Because, you know, you know the city, you learn the city, you love the city, and you got other things to do rather than, like, driving, like, to go do something else. I did want to play professional football, soccer, but as I was going through the process, I realized that, well, one, you know, I think this is hindsight now. I definitely didn't put in enough time
into
like working outside of just playing. Because, you know, to become a professional, you got to be a professional, like in any field. You got to practice extra hard, not just practicing with the team. You got to get better at the things that you're weak at. You got to improve your skills, you got to get personal training, you got to go to the gym, not just with the team, right?
Have you seen that David Beckham documentary?
Oh, no, actually, I haven't.
Oh, you should. It's a good one.
Actually, I haven't.
It's a good one. It's very emotional, and it was well put together. I like the cinematography, how it was shot.
Yeah.
And they're like, so...
That was on Netflix, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I watched it on Netflix, but I really did enjoy it.
Okay.
And the reason why that came to mind when you were talking about it, David's dad put a ball in front of him since like it was tiny and they have videos of him.
Yeah.
He did nothing.
But play football.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
He did nothing but take shots in the backyard. Like bend it like Beckham.
Yeah.
He had been bending it for like
a long time. Yeah.
Every day he bent it like 1,000 times before bed. And that was the only thing. That was the only thing he literally did. I feel like between kicking the ball and Posh Spice.
Yeah.
That's the summary of his life.
Man, that's the thing though. I think you definitely need the support of your parents, right? If, you know, like most African parents, they want education first and
In case.
Yeah, you know, they're not pushing you to necessarily do what Beckham's dad or whatever was making them do, right? They're not doing that. And sometimes that helps. I'm not saying that's the only way to make it, but it's great when you have
the support.
Yeah, because you know that, hey, it is okay to go to the field and just play for 5 hours rather than, you know, maybe studying.
That's all he did.
Yeah, right.
That's all he did. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Practice does indeed make perfect.
Exactly.
Okay, so now that you're not playing anymore, what do you get to do?
I mean, I play for fun.
Okay.
I used to play.
Are you part of a team? Do you like have a team you play with every?
I did.
Every Saturday?
Yeah. I play like, what would you call it? Adult league, right?
Okay.
Recreational. And then nowadays they have like semi-pro leagues. And I was playing in those until my daughter was born. Or until my partner got pregnant, you know, and I had to be around more and things like that. And that's another aspect of having a kid, right? Sometimes you got to sacrifice some of the things you love. But
regrets, though?
No.
Does it feel like a painful sacrifice?
No, because I could get back into it. It's just managing your schedule. Because I did get back into it. I started playing again. But then you just got to pick out, like, what's important to you. How, you know, we have 24 hours, right? And everybody chooses how they want to spend it. Do you want to
be there for your daughter, or do you want
to? Or do you want to use those other hours to develop your career skills, like your professional skills, right? Do you want to do that, or do you want to just go somewhat play for fun, right?
Well, you look fit. You look like a footballer, actually. You look like a proper footballer. If I saw you outside and someone told me that you were professional, I would not doubt that at all. I
appreciate that.
Yeah. So what do you do for work?
I'm an internal auditor.
Okay.
I guess in boring terms, we get people ready for audit and make sure that they're following audit regulations. Just doing things by the book. Yeah.
So I'm sure you see everything from internal audit. You know, you follow the money, you know what's happening. Is it only just about the money, or is it the systems, or what do you audit?
Financial systems.
Okay.
And as well as asset systems. So.
Is it fun?
Sometimes it's fun. Because, you know, you get to learn the internal processes of, you know, certain organizations. You get to learn how things function, where the dollar is going.
What did you end up studying at VCU?
Homeland Security.
Say that again?
Homeland Security.
That's what you studied?
Yeah.
There's a course called Homeland Security?
Exactly. I didn't learn that until I went to VCU. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a whole department. It's Department of Homeland Security,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And that's how that major came about, because they wanted people to start getting ready to work for the Department of Homeland Security.
Do you work for the Department of Homeland Security?
No, but I do work for the
government.
Government, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What do you study?
Well, you study it came about from 9/11. Right. Mm-hmm. So you basically study how every level of the government is supposed to collaborate to prevent, you know, disasters and threats and things like that from that nature. And
you also have to have like a security clearance to study homeland security?
No, you don't. No, because you're just in college. Yeah, no, you don't. You don't need a security clearance.
Yeah. I've never heard of it before.
A lot of people don't. Every time I tell them, they're like, that's a major? Yeah. So that's what I had. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It definitely helps to get jobs in the government.
In the government when you study that.
Yeah.
Okay. And was auditing some of the things you studied as part of your major?
No, zero. I got into audit after, like 2 years after college, actually. One of my friends introduced me. I used to do like IT help desk.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. I see.
Yeah, just like setting up stations, mm-hmm. getting meetings ready and things like that, which it's a good base for internal audit because you're working with information systems and understanding how they work and connect definitely help with auditing. But I just took a course, learned about the Certified Information System Auditor, so started studying for that, got a certification, and got my job in the field, and then just started learning more on the job.
That's completely interesting.
Yeah. I actually got to thank some of my friends for getting me into that field, yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's obviously not what I want to do with my life, but it's
been good. What would you want
to do? Be a professional soccer player. Yeah, I wish.
What are the chances of being a... Sorry, it's going to hurt a little bit.
No, all good.
What are the chances of being a professional soccer player at 29?
Oh my God. I'm going to say 2%, even if that's like, yeah, there's no way. No team's taking you at 30 and you haven't, like,
you haven't played
anywhere, like, at all. Yeah. Like.
Well, you've played at a recreational. You've been playing. You've played internationally, you've played in Togo.
Yeah,
rocks and everything. Come on, let's put your resume together.
Yeah. They're not banking on that investment. Yeah.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. I understand that you have some interesting views on partnerships, marriage.
Yeah.
So let's have that discussion.
Okay.
What does partnership mean to you?
What does partnership mean to me? Well, partnership means, one, being a friend with your significant other, right? Whether you're in love, I think you should be in love with your partner for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, partnership can mean, like, are you in, like, the dating phase or whatever? But if we're talking about, like, having a kid together, you should definitely be in love with your partner. You should have your expectations set. You should be yourself with that person. But then again, also knowing how your partner works. So, you know, everything that comes with having a good relationship, a good marriage, I think that's what partnership is, right? Just
I was going to say, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. That sounds like a good marriage.
Yeah, right? And yeah, it is a marriage. It's just
a partnership. Marriage is a form of a partnership.
Yeah.
If you ask me, it's not a contractual partnership.
It's contract. Yeah, you just sign a contract under the law. That's all it is.
All right. But will you be happy to sign a contract?
Maybe. I don't know.
But what are your current reservations?
My current reservations, I just don't want to sign a piece of document under the government stating that this is a person I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. Right.
Why not?
I don't know. It just doesn't resonate with me. I don't know. It's just for some of the things that I've seen that some relationships end in divorce and badly, right? Because of the legal document that you sign, right? And that's some of my hesitations around it, right? Like, for example, when you do separate, and I'm not saying that you should be in a relationship to thinking about ending it or being in a divorce, but it is a reality, right? And and also, you know, I do have other perspective as well, where I don't know, maybe I'm just not a one woman man, right? Like, I don't want to say too much, but yeah, so.
Open relationships?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay.
Not necessarily open polyamory. Relationship, but maybe polyamory, yeah. But
I think that's the most confusing type of relationship that ever existed.
Yeah.
The first time I heard about it, I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, someone had proposed that we be in a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you know, new age, that sounds cool, funky, what is it?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, everybody's like in a relationship with everybody and nobody. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Okay, so.
And I watched some videos about it on YouTube, and everything I saw, there was always that one person that was in love with one of the other people.
Yeah.
That wasn't having a good time.
True.
That, like, all the examples. All the examples I saw, somebody was not having a good time.
Okay.
Somebody was definitely not having a good time. It's.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess let me ask you this. What does marriage mean to you?
Oh, I think marriage is a commitment. I think it's a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a commitment, committing yourself to your significant other.
Yeah.
Saying that you will be there for better or worse is a vow.
Mm-hmm.
And the vow, the terms of the vow and the contracts are clear for better or for worse in sickness and health.
Mm-hmm.
And you are deciding to do life together.
Mm-hmm.
You're deciding to do life together.
And can you do that without signing a legally binding document?
Of course you can.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about it.
You can do that without signing a legally binding document. Yes, you can.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about it. I don't need, and I'm not against having a celebration of marriage, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm actually against having a celebration of marriage.
Really? So you're more about signing a document than celebrating?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I have seen people celebrating to death and stupor beyond reasonable expectations or I've seen fabulous weddings. Maybe this might not apply to you as an African American, but in Nigeria, people throw the most extra vegan weddings, and are broke.
Of course. Or even here.
People take loans to be the ceremony.
Yeah.
And you have a baby on the way sometimes. And I've been thinking about all of that stuff. And I feel like that's just irresponsible.
Yeah.
I feel like if you had it with the most important people,
that it
would be okay.
Yeah.
And even the most important people is you and the person who's getting married.
Yeah.
You elope and you drink a bottle of champagne on the beach. That's fine.
And that's what I'm saying. But eloping also includes signing a legally binding document, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the document is a commitment, though.
But so isn't
when you
my
do it, when you do
word
it,
commitment?
It can be.
Because just because you're married doesn't, like, just because you signed that document doesn't mean I am committed to you. I could do whatever.
It actually doesn't mean anything.
I could do whatever I want, whether I sign this document or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can.
Yes, you can.
But the only difference is, let's say you're in debt and you can't pay your debt. They're coming after me. Are they not?
I think so.
I feel like that's the only difference. Basically, I'm responsible for
For each other in the eyes of the government and the eyes of other people.
Exactly. Right? And just because we signed that document doesn't mean I'm going to be loyal. Doesn't mean I'm going to treat you like the wife you are supposed to be. Doesn't mean I'm going to be the man you want me to be. It could just be that I gave you this because that's what you wanted. But the way I feel about it is that I could give you all that because I'm giving you my word and I'm showing you that I want to be your partner. I want to be the person that you want to be with for the rest of your life. Whether I have to work on my demons, whether you have to work on your demons, whether we have to communicate, regardless, in a marriage, all that happens. All that happens. And you don't need to sign a legally binding document that says, hey, when you die, I have to pay
all your debt.
All your debt. But sometimes that happens now because when you cohabitate after a certain amount of years, I think seven or whatever, you're already legally binded.
Yeah. What do they call it? Common law or common something marriage?
I don't know, but it's like some type of cohabitation thing or whatever. But yeah.
But I am with you. I am with you. I see where you're coming from. And I don't think it's unreasonable. And I think that a lot of people, a lot of women, especially when you start to approach the 8:30 and you haven't married yet, they tend to start to make all sorts of bad decisions.
Yeah.
Just because they want to be misses. And sometimes people live their lives to become misses.
Yeah.
That it's about the day of the celebration and not necessarily the after.
Mm-hmm.
And also coming from a culture where a term like bride price exists also means that it's not just a commitment, but it's a sale.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if you're going to pay a price for something, if the price is significant or insignificant, it doesn't matter. There's a price.
Yeah.
Which means it's a commodity. So sometimes it gives men undue advantage over women
mm-hmm.
in relationships because they feel like they've paid the price.
That's true. They basically bought you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to say, oh, no, it's our culture. But yeah, it's a bill of sale. It's a transfer of sale from a father to a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's an exchange of property.
Pay the dow.
For something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hear you. I actually don't even know where I was going with this, but I actually do agree with you. I feel like I'm surprising myself by agreeing with you, but these are some of the views I've held for a very long time.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Yeah. However, I still believe in... I don't think I can handle polyamorous situations
and
open situations, I think.
Yeah.
That's a bit too much for me. I don't think people need a piece of paper to be committed to each other.
No.
But at the same time, a piece of paper doesn't help you regardless.
Yeah.
Doesn't ensure that your partner is...
going to be loyal to you.
Going to be loyal to you.
Going
to
be the best husband.
Is it that they are and they are not? And to be honest with you, if you're not married, it's easier to just walk away than if you are.
Yeah.
And
some people feel stuck when they're married.
Oh, but they make it so easy. Do you know what it takes to get married?
Oh, no. Yeah, they make it easy to get married.
Do you know what it takes to get divorced?
A lot more. That's what I'm saying. That's what people get stuck.
I'm like, how is there no... You know how you get a license?
Yeah.
A driving license, you have to
take the study and all
in Maryland is a whole different thing. I don't know where you got your license. I think in Virginia it's a bit easy. But in Maryland, it's a nightmare getting your license. It's a nightmare. Even after you get the license, they put you on something for 18 months before they can take it off because you're still like a conditional driver.
Yeah.
And that's for you to be able to drive.
Mm.
But getting a married license is just you walking up there and saying, hey.
Let's do this.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then you want to get divorced. And so I think that there should be a course. And I've had this discussion with my significant other about what should happen before people get married.
Yeah.
You should take a course. You should watch some true crime.
True, true.
See how people kill each other for insurance. How people are unfaithful to each other.
Yeah.
In this, the way they show you car crashes or you're taking the driving course, you show people murdering people because they got angry at each other, how somebody killed somebody for insurance.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure you want to marry this person? If they did that, nobody would probably get married.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm not saying it might not happen, but that's just how I feel about it right now. And I've felt like that for... And some of the questions that I've gotten is, you grew up in a family of marriage, right? And like, my parents have been married for as long as I can remember, right? And that's the question that I've gotten, that how come you grew up in that type of household, but this is the mindset that you have? And I'm like, well, my life goes beyond just
your parents,
my parents. And, you know, we see other people's experience. I have met friends that their parents
went through a divorce
and it was nasty. I met people that were going through a divorce and it was messy. I met people that wished they never got married and got to know their significant other way more or live with them for years before they got married, right? And yeah, so putting all that together, just like, I mean, I'm going to give you my word and hopefully that's good enough. And I'm going to treat you, I'm going to do everything possible. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so what's happening right now is that I'm showing Cedric his hair. We have put in a style. He has the faded side and back and the top, and it looks nice.
Oh, yeah, it does look nice.
I just want to say, I like it. If you don't, that's your problem.
No, of course I like it.
Well, I'm happy you like
that's
it.
That's the reason why I'm back.
Yeah, I'm happy
I've been wanting interlocking method for like since I got my locks, and I finally found the person, so I am happy.
I'm happy too.
Yeah.
But well, we've had a fantastic conversation today. The next client is actually waiting. I don't want to keep her waiting so much more, but it's always fun to talk to you.
Yeah.
We're probably going to have more of these conversations outside the podcast.
Okay.
But I actually agree with your view on commitment not necessarily mean a vow, a piece of paper. And some people take vows seriously. Some people don't.
Yeah.
It's a very individual thing. Yeah. And I am not in support of spending millions in Naira and tens of thousands in dollars for one day celebration.
Yeah. I can give you a vow if that's what you want. We get together, get to the most beautiful place. We're nice. You wear your nice dress. I wear my nice suit. And we read to each other what we mean to each other in front of 8 people and call it a day.
Yeah, that works.
You know?
And when you're ready to break it, you just break it.
You just walk away. You just walk away. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Cedric. This was fun.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. And making me look nice.
Of course, you're welcome. It's locked with an attitude.
Oh, yeah.
So for everyone out there, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Cedric kind of took me around the world explaining what it means to be Togolese, Black, African, Nigerian and all of that stuff, but that was fun. It was good to learn more about you. We didn't get to the difficult parts of being a daddy, but I'm happy that being a daddy makes you happy.
No, it does.
And that makes me look forward to being a mommy at some point. We talked about our views on marriage. We never got to AFCON, but you know.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad Africa's won.
They deserve the win.
Yeah, I'm glad.
So let me put it that way.
Yeah.
As a Nigerian, to every Ivorian out there, you all deserve the win. We played rubbish.
Yeah.
It was even a miracle that we actually had as many goals as we did in that finals.
Yeah.
But that was good. But anyway, I do hope that you have the very best in what life has to offer going forward, and that your daughter continues to grow strong, bright, and continues to make you guys happy.
Thank you.
But well,
I will say this about parenting. It have taught me patience.
Okay.
Whether that's a negative or a positive.
It has to be a positive.
It's a positive. So, yeah. It has taught me patience. So, yeah.
All right. So, till next time, y'all keep it locked with an attitude. And you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast. We are on most of the podcast platforms. I guess this is me signing out. I don't have any other final words. Just keep it locked with an attitude. Bye.
Keep it locked with an attitude. Peace.
Yeah.